Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Greater New York Hospital SBAR conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will follow at that time. If anyone should require assistance during the conference, please press star, then zero on your touch-tone telephone. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to introduce your host, Terry Straub. Ms. Straub, please begin.
Thank you, Chris. Just for clarification, it's the Greater New York Hospital Association and United Hospital Fund SBAR conference call. And we're privileged today to have on this call and the next two calls Janet Nagamini from Safe and Reliable Healthcare and a frequent consultant of IHI. Most of you on the call, I'm sure, know Janet from all of the programs she's done to date with Greater New York. Also in the moderator room is Rachel Block from United Hospital Fund and Hillary Jalon, and I know everyone knows Hillary. Our first speaker today will be Iris Berman. Iris is the critical care educator at Glen Cove Hospital, and we're proud to have Iris on the call today because she has taken such a lead with the implementation of SBAR at Glen Cove. We thought it would be helpful to everyone on the call to just listen to how SBAR has been implemented at a community hospital and then try to adopt some of those practices. We're hoping to have Good Samaritan Hospital join us on the call, but they've had an emergency room in an emergency in their critical care unit, so they may be delayed or not able to join us, but we'll play it by ear for the call. And then we'll open it up to question and answers and suggestions by Janet as far as handoffs, the biggest challenges with piloting SBAR, successes in piloting SBAR, and measuring success with SBAR. In your package today, you have a copy of slides from Glen Cove Hospital. They should have been emailed to you. And you will also see in your package or in your emails that you have worksheets to begin your first cycle of rapid improvement in regard to SBAR. As noted earlier, on earlier conference calls, we decided to do a series of three SBAR calls using the PDCA approach so that hospitals could get a jump start on implementing SBAR since it is one of the key focus areas in the RRS collaborative. That said, I'm going to hand the call over to Iris. Janet will pick up, ask questions, and facilitate the rest of the agenda, and participants will have an opportunity for questions and answers as we move forward. So, Iris?
Here I am. Hi, how are you? I want to thank you, first of all, for initiating all of this. I can't tell you how much we've enjoyed the conferences at Pelham and how helpful it has been in helping us to recruit people from within the hospital. Nurses are slowly but surely getting the buy-in, but the big challenge was getting this across disciplines and getting physician buy-in. And by you presenting that conference, it really helped us to get our physicians on board in our family practice teaching service. What we realized early on, back when we started the rapid response system, we realized that SBAR was a key piece to that. And so, of course, like everything else, we developed a form. The form helped us to communicate data, but what we realized is people really didn't grasp the concept of SBAR beyond that form, that, in fact, it was really a tool for communication to be more effective. When we look back at the reason that there are medical errors, we have found that there are as many, by Joint Commission study, that there are as many as 65% of sentinel events related to communication breakdown. When I was observing our earlier rapid response system team approach, I'd watched that we'd call very early on for a problem, but that not all information was necessarily communicated, despite the fact that we had this form, that the concept of how to use SBAR wasn't quite there. So we have to revisit that. So in 2006, we started with that first concept of the form, and now in 2007, we've realized that we have to really perfect that technique. And where we do it is very important and how we do it. We looked at it in terms of utilizing it in the ER, in the ICU, for physician calls, not just for rapid response, but for any type of communication regarding an acute change in a patient, in phone calls for physician order, from attending physician to consultant perhaps in the future. And right now, another big piece that we're working on is from one resident to the next. Our big problem was getting buy-in from Family Practice Teaching Service, but I'm happy to say that two of our physicians, Dr. Bennett and Dr. Kieber, have become champions for this, and it will, in fact, be utilized starting in July with our new residents. It's going to be part of their orientation process. We've also looked at their utilization for the current residents here, and they've actually started implementing SBAR when they're handing off patients during emergencies. Frequently, we'll have a third-year resident respond to an emergency, and then they have to go to cover their unit, and a second year may pick up temporarily while we're deciding disposition of the patient. And I have actually witnessed, and my heart does me proud now, because I've been watching them speak to each other using an exact SBAR format, and it was very clear and concise. And then when I was asking the resident questions about the patient afterwards, he was able to give me accurate information. But how do we engage the staff? Well, we're educating in terms of memos, placards that they can carry in their pocket, and my next plan is actually to implement it in simulation. I'm looking at scripting and pushing that out. We do have a simulator on premise here, and we're going to actually set up most of our scenarios using this as part of our communication format in the future. And then, again, going over what the SBAR acronym really stands for is very important. We have actually tried to standardize communication in handoff. It's all about handoff. And I have Cheryl Epstein sitting next to me, who is one of our med-surg educators here. And she has a really fascinating story about her med-surg, one of her med-surg units with effect to change in using IPASS, which is kind of an expansion on the SBAR format to help with report off and handoff of patients from nurse to nurse, from shift to shift. Cheryl, could you speak to that a little bit?
Oh, I'd be happy to.
Thank you.
In intershift report, that was a big, big problem that in identifying consistent information from shift to shift. One of our units developed a pilot project, and we developed a different acronym called IPASS. And we do intershift report at the bedside in PATH and also including the patient in the process, where I stands for introduction, where we introduce ourselves to the patient. P stands for problem, past medical history, what is the problem that the patient is admitted with. A stands for activities, what were the activities in the last 12 hours that happened to the patient. And S stands for schedule, as far as what schedule can happen to the patient in the next 12 hours. The second S of IPASS stands for sidebar, and that was if there was any information that could not be addressed in front of the patient, they would have a sidebar. And what we found very nicely is that we've had a tremendous effect on patient satisfaction. The fact that patients are informed on what's going on, and they're included, they were all on the same page, and whether you use SBAR or whatever acronym you use, it's important that everybody be on the same page and working together in effectively communicating.
In addition, we're also looking, this is Iris again, we're also looking at utilizing SBAR in the future in the OR. OR educator is helping to push that off. So you can see that our facility has had a very large buy-in in realizing that we have to do something to perfect our communication and to standardize it so that we're all speaking the same language. Janet?
That is great. Thank you, Iris and Cheryl. I just wanted to circle back on a couple of common themes that I see. As you found, getting the physician buy-in was critical to moving forward. And so I'm glad that our event helped with that. And the other thing that I wanted to mention is the resident and physician education, because I think that SBAR is important for all healthcare providers, because not only do we have different styles of communicating, but I think we're not very precise. We take a lot of shortcuts. We leave a lot of things out. And I think it's fascinating that in your RRT review, you specifically noted that calls were made, but not all information was communicated. Because I think that when we rush to the phone, we pick it up, and we want to communicate something, unless we really think it through and sort of process the information. Now, what do I need? What details? What do I really think is going on? And what am I really asking for? It is very easy to forget critical pieces of information. The origin of SBAR is related to those failure to rescue scenarios that you often see in RRT types of calls. And so this is really a tool to help prevent the failure to rescue, forgetting to put in certain pieces of information. So that is great. And then the other thing in terms of your handoff story, I love that you do it at the bedside. I think that is a wonderful approach to really making sure that what you see is what I see at this moment in time, because we very often may not see a patient for an hour or two before shift report, and then the oncoming person may not see the patient an hour or two, for their initial assessment. So you've got 3 or 4 hours unaccounted for, and you walk in this room and wonder, well, gee, they didn't sound that sick during report. So that is great. And whether you use SBAR or IPASS, the key is that you focus on the problem and the clinical condition. There are some challenges with using SBAR for handoffs because the number of elements that you have in a handoff is different from using SBAR to report an acute change in condition, where you're really more focused on one or two problems. So I think that another pattern that I see across the country is challenges with SBAR, because what happens in the shift report is you're commingling sort of the tasks and the less dynamic pieces like their diet or activity with the clinical condition, which is a moving target. So I encourage people to focus on primarily the clinical condition and try to separate out the less dynamic pieces, such as, you know, the background demographics and history and diet and so forth. So those are my off the top of my head thoughts, but that is great work. Anything else that you wanted to add in terms of what you thought were the critical success factors?
In terms of utilizing SBAR, I think what it does is it forces you in an emergent situation, in particular when there's change in condition, to focus on the key elements that you need to communicate, especially if you're having to use the telephone, even more so than when you're in person. If, for example, I have to ask a resident to call the attending, that it helps him as well to focus and give the pertinent information so that we then get back appropriate orders. In the past, when we didn't have that format, frequently the resident would come back and we'd say, okay, well, what's happening? Well, I don't know. He's going to call back. That kind of a thing would occur. Whereas now they seem to target what they desire, and they're feeling there's a sense of empowerment in using SBAR because it allows the caller or the nurse, the physician or the nurse, whoever it is calling for that SBAR situation, to say, I think that the problem is, and it makes it okay to say that and to ask for specific orders or recommendations. That sense of empowerment is something that we started early on, you know, even way back when we started with the CLABS, with the first IHI initiative, and empowering nurses, for example, to stop a procedure if it wasn't going the way they felt it should go. That's something that's still evolving in healthcare, and that ability to be able to say it in a non-judgmental way is really an important piece of what SBAR adds to the communication.
So a lot of challenges around nurses feeling comfortable with the assessment and recommendation. So how did you make it safe and okay for nurses to actually put out an assessment and recommendation?
Well, I think a big piece was getting the physician buy-in and the recognition that ultimately we were trying to do the best we could for their patient, and that if they would just be patient with the nurses and listen to what it was they had to say, that 9 times out of 10, they were going to give them all the information they needed if we could be allowed to use the format. You know, do you have some resistance? There's going to always be a couple of people that are the last ones to jump on the ship, but slowly but surely the doctors are actually asking, why wasn't an SBAR called, or why wasn't I, you know, why didn't they use this format when say there's a situation, a question of a change in a patient. And so doctors are actually looking forward to both the rapid response being called, and they look forward to that phone call with the information at hand. That's the buy-in, is that it actually saves them time and it provides better and more expedient care for their patient.
That is great. In terms of the empowerment piece, I just want to address that, because that is a big challenge. And I think it speaks to the physicians coming on board and creating that environment, because it's not, it definitely has to be created. It's not going to just happen. And what I encourage folks who are having challenges there to do is have the physicians say, well, you know, what do you think is going on, and what do you think we should do? So whether you're asking for the A and R, that's essentially what you're doing. You're asking the nurse, what do you think is going on, and what do you think we should do, which is very empowering, as well as the residents. And, you know, the empowerment piece is big, and I think one of the biggest values of SBAR, if you have the environment that is created to make it safe to do that. But that's one of the obstacles for many places, is they just expect it to happen and don't realize that you really do have to create that environment, because it hasn't been there for many years in our traditional hierarchies.
Very true.
Anything else, Cheryl or Iris, that you wanted to add?
Only that we're looking forward to expanding this further, and you know, we'd love to hear what other hospitals are doing with it in terms of the decision to use it in things other than rapid response, because we feel it has value beyond just the rapid response.
That's great. And you start to see a cultural transformation, don't you?
Absolutely. Again, it's the confidence piece for the nurses. And the other thing we were wondering about is how people are trying to measure results when they're changing their form of communication, what type of metrics can be used, because that's the thing we want to explore next, is what kinds of changes are we seeing beyond those that we observe, and how can we measure that?
Well, there's actually a result that I think is really neat that speaks to efficiency that you alluded to already with the residents' calls. One place went to audit on their evening and night shifts, the cross-cover calls. They simply intended to audit how many percent of the time is SBAR being used. And what they found, however, was that, okay, SBAR was being used 80% of the time in their cross-cover calls, but the incidental finding was that their volume of calls decreased by half. So as you've alluded to, they get it taken care of in the first call rather than waiting for somebody to call back, or rather than not all the information being communicated and then you having to call back a second or third time. If you put your ducks in a row on that first call, it does show that you make less calls. And that is a win-win. The nurses at this facility said, I love it because, you know, I call and I say this, this, and this, and they say, yes, uh-huh, okay, that sounds good. And, you know, as opposed to the playing 20 questions, it's a win-win for the nurse. The nurse feels heard. The nurse feels that her input was considered. The physicians love it because they don't have to guess and play 20 questions. So that's one metric, and up till now, the metrics have been primarily surveys, but I think looking at volume of calls, mm-hmm. percent of the time that SBAR is used is another area.
Is that what everybody else out there is doing?
So, Janet, do you think this would be a good opportunity to open it up?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, operator, if we could hear from others out there, and we know there's a lot of people on the line, any questions for Iris or Janet, or any comments about what you're doing, that would be great, and then we'll go into the discussion about the SBAR pilot worksheet.
Thank you very much, Hillary. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, please press the number 1 key on your touchtone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press the pound key. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, please press the 1 key on your number on your telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press the pound key.
No questions, operator?
No questions at this time, ma'am.
Hey. Maybe they're holding them all for the end.
Maybe. Iris, this is Janet. So one other thing about the metrics, I was hoping that people would speak to that, but the other thing that people are looking at is adverse events, and it's not a direct cause and effect, but there are folks who feel that their medication adverse events or adverse events in general have decreased. It's harder to say that it's specifically from that, but it's interesting to note the trends.
I guess I can understand what the relationship. I wonder, though, sometimes, too, I mean, when we look, again, it's all about communication. Even if we're not looking at SBAR, then we may be looking at the written order versus the actual telephone communication or verbal face-to-face communication that goes on. It still traces down to what was the background. I guess you could actually apply SBAR to just about anything. Situational. You could even put it in an email if you had a problem and you were trying to discuss a problem in an email.
Oh, and there are places that do require it for all communication.
Right.
There are places that train the housekeepers and the bioengineers, and that is how they communicate.
And we're getting down to the point where I'm pretty much saying, even at home, just give me the SBAR. Is that good?
Yes, it works for spouses, too. Okay, so with that, I think then we can move on to the planning worksheet that I believe you all had in your email along with the slides. And I just thought for those of you who are in the planning stages of implementing SBAR, I would hope that you can learn from the failures that I had and all the things that I learned the hard way along the way, and some of the successes that Iris and Cheryl are sharing and what they saw as the critical success factors. So if you look at the first page, the first question is, what are you trying to accomplish and how will you measure success? This is, I think, the most important piece. What are you trying to accomplish? Because the ones that have started to implement SBAR and haven't done well are the ones that ended up having people go out and describe SBAR and what they were doing in a way that wasn't framed very well. So, for example, I've heard things like, what we're trying to do is make the nurses communicate better. Well, you can guess that that resulted in a bunch of nurses who felt very offended. Who felt like that was only, one part of the story. So how you frame this is very critical. The group that is planning the implementation together needs to have a consistent elevator speech about what this is, what you're trying to accomplish. So an example would be, we're trying to prevent failure to rescue. We're trying to reduce barriers to clear and concise communication, or we're trying to increase predictability in how we communicate, or we're trying to ensure patient safety by standardizing how we communicate evolving clinical situations. Something to that effect that ties in patient safety, that ties in standardizing or increasing predictability. But it has to be consistent, because you don't want people going out and describing it 10 different ways and confusing people about what you're trying to do. And, the group themselves, I see, would have different notions about what they're trying to accomplish. So that's the first step. As a group, defining what you're trying to do. And then the measurement piece that follows what you're trying to do. And if what you're trying to do is improve teamwork, then that would include a survey to the stakeholders on the team that you're trying to improve and getting their perspective about, are things better? So the metrics directly follow what you're trying to accomplish. And the second question, the initiative is important because, again, that takes you to the next level of why you're trying to accomplish what you're trying to accomplish. So if it is that your risk data or your RRT data shows, as Iris mentioned, that calls were made but not all the information was communicated, you know, that's backing up why you need to do this. So you've got to be ready to defend what you're trying to do and describe why it is important. And the more it's tied to your local data, the more convincing it is. Because if you share national data, they'll just say, well, that's not us. That doesn't happen here. You really want to tie it into what is happening in your department or your medical center. So looking to the quality and risk folks about what they're seeing, I think, may provide some powerful data for you. And then the third piece is our goals. Specifically, what are you trying to do? Are you going to target, for example, cross-cover calls on evening and night shift? That's an area where I think SBAR, specifically the background, is helpful because very often the person that you're talking to doesn't know the background of the patient. And if you wanted to say our goal is that on evening and night shift, the calls will come in SBAR form, you know, 70% of the time or 80% of the time, just quantifying it to see if you meet your target. Or our goal could be to launch a pilot by August 1st. So, again, your goals related to your first question of what you're trying to accomplish as well. There might be others. But what are the outcomes that you want to see and accomplish? The next piece is another important one. Who is sponsoring the initiative, and what will you ask them to do to ensure success? I get calls from people who are frontline staff, you know, trying to do this on their own, bless their heart, but I told them that, you know, no matter how hard you try, you are going to need the help of your managers and your leaders in the institution, because one department or one person cannot take on this sort of major cultural shift. So think about who do you need support from, and I think the physicians are a big piece. So who is your physician champion going to be that's going to help you to talk to the docs about what you're trying to accomplish and why it's important and what you would like them to do to help you? When we get to the third page, you know, we lay out names and numbers and roles of specific people and what we want them to do. And I think a lot of times people get enthused, they run out and they try to implement things, but they find out along the way, hindsight, that they wish that they had certain people on board. So this is just preparing you to think this through. Who do you really need? Who are the stakeholders? And what are you going to ask them to do? And I go as far as when I ask a physician to champion something, I explicitly say, this is what I'm asking you to do. So in your department, if a physician is not being supportive of SBAR, I need you to go and talk with them about that and give them feedback about how that will not encourage nurses to call you if you're not being receptive. So specifically asking people to do that. And I've had physicians say, I'm not willing to do that. It's like, okay, well, let me find a different champion. So you've got to really be clear and get agreement from the people that you're identifying to support you that they will be they will be willing to do what you're asking them to do. So don't assume that they're going to do what you have in mind. So the second page goes to sort of the infrastructure of your hospital. Again, identifying the key stakeholders. And for Iris, the resident group was a key stakeholder. And these stakeholders may not be the same when you're dealing with a pilot as they are when you go medical center-wide. So if you're starting out with a pilot, you know, your list is going to be shorter initially. But if you plan to roll it out medical center-wide, it's also not too early to get support from managers and leaders in advance and say, heads up, we're going to do this pilot. Here's what we need from you. I don't need anything specifically at this moment, but that's to come. Again, depending on your situation and what scale you are doing at this point. Down the list here at the bottom, what is the target date for implementation? What needs to be done before then? Again, tasks to be done by whom and by when. Again, groups are very enthused, and sometimes they're not good about who's doing what. You go to your meeting in a week or two and realize, oh, I thought you were going to do that. And, you know, you find yourself at this meeting when nothing really changed a whole lot from the previous meeting. So being very clear and explicit. The third page is the SBAR implementation planning sheet or team roster. There's a whole bunch of titles and you know, project manager, executive sponsor, quality support, education. These may or may not apply to you. They're just ideas of people who are often involved in quality improvement projects. Don't feel like you have to fill in every line here. These are just ideas of people who may be able to be part of your team and help you to move this out. And then the last page is the PDSA change worksheet. When you go to do this, you're probably going to start out with a pilot, or you've already done a pilot and you already got it in several places. This is the tweaking sheet. What's working, what's not, what do we need to change? And usually you've gotten some data as you're measuring how well the pilot is doing. And if your data doesn't show that, for example, you have 75% of the calls on evening shift using SBAR, then you have to ask yourself, how will we get there? What's not happening? Do we need to go out and mentor people? Do we need to talk to the physician group about actively engaging and asking for SBAR? So you go through several cycles before you actually have success. And the thing that you should know about SBAR is that really it takes a lot of time and mentoring for this to happen. So if you've already tried it and if you're finding that, you know, not everyone's using it or it's not working well, that's not unusual. The challenge, I think, is really asking yourself, what are the barriers to this working and how do we get around that barrier? So it's not at all unusual that this has its own cycle. And I think I shared with you some of our approaches. You know, we've had successful approaches and not successful approaches. And the ones that didn't work well for us were the ones where we tried broad dissemination, where we focused more on the mechanics of SBAR, and we cut our training down to doing it on an in-service level that was less interdisciplinary, and without the cultural piece and the context, it didn't go over well. So we went back to our longer version of training because we found that unless you had people sitting in a room in an interdisciplinary way, it really didn't take very well. So that was an example of a tweak that we did. We tried to be efficient. We tried broad dissemination, shorter classes, and we found that really that didn't work. So those are just examples of what you might find in your incremental tests of change and how you go through all of these cycles. So that's the planning worksheet in a nutshell. And our hope was that between now and our next call, we could focus on the setup. That is, you go back to your group, identify who are the stakeholders, who's on the team, and who's going to do what, and get their agreement and commitment to support this in how you need it. So having your team put together and set up, and then Well, talk about how it went with the buy-in, and do you have everybody that you need? And between the second and third call, then go into, well, how will training go? What will that look like, and who will do it, and what will be the content? So that's sort of what we talked about. Any questions or thoughts about this planning worksheet?
Operator, let's open it up again for questions for Janet.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, please press the number one key on your touch-tone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press the pound key.
I think for the folks on the call, even if you do not have a question, Hillary, you have the list of participating hospitals?
Yes.
Maybe we could go around to each hospital, and operator, you could open up one hospital's line at a time. I know this is a grueling process, but it would be helpful to hear from each hospital as to what you plan to do between this call and the next call in regard to the implementation of the SBAR and putting your AIM worksheet together. Are there any questions, operator, first off?
Yes, ma'am. My first question comes from Lorraine Farrell from John T. Mather Memorial. Ma'am, your line is open.
Hi, doctor.
Hi.
Hello. We were a little bit confused here at Mather. We would like to implement SBAR, but we're struggling with how it would sound for an intershift report. And we wondered if you could maybe model, you know, a scenario of a typical med-surg patient, you know, who is admitted maybe with pneumonia and has the big list of comorbidities, and how that might go on an intershift report.
I'm glad you brought that up. I just briefly mentioned that handoffs with SBAR can be tricky because there are often so many elements in a handoff from shift to shift. So if somebody comes in with a focus problem of pneumonia, so, for example, at Kaiser with the Nurse Knowledge Exchange, they use ISBAR at the bedside, and the situation is the sort of one or two main clinical problems. So the situation is, okay, Mrs. Smith was admitted with shortness of breath. It looks like she has pneumonia. She also has a history of CHF, so there might be both things going on. The background is we've done some Lasix, we've done antibiotics. We're going to get other diagnostic tests. Assessment, it sounds like it's more pneumonia. The diuresis, you know, didn't help or did help, and the recommendation would be to follow up with the echo that's planned, continue the antibiotics. So as you can see, my dialogue here is clinically focused. I'm not commingling the diet and the tasks that need to be done unless it's related to the clinical problem. Does that make sense?
Yes, that was very helpful. Thank you very much.
And so that's the challenge of SBAR handoff, is making sure that you're not muddying the waters by putting in all the other tasks and pieces of information that need to be communicated. And the way we get around that in Kaiser is we have an IT system that prints out the demographics, that prints out the meds and allergies. It's updated every shift, so you have sort of that Cardex piece of paper. And when you go to the bedside and do your SBAR, you are only talking about their clinical condition. And when here's the other challenging thing. When hospitals decide to adopt SBAR, it's also important to be clear, again, in your AIM statement, whether you're using it for general one-on-one communications or whether you're using it for handoffs, because people get very confused about what we're trying to do here with SBAR. So SBAR starts to mean different things to different people. And if I know that there's a handoff communication JCO standard, but ideally, if you have the one-on-one communication well underway, and then you go to SBAR for handoff, that's a much easier transition than trying to do them both at the same time. That's where it gets very challenging, because people are very unclear about what is SBAR accomplishing here? Thank you for that question.
Can I just say something?
Uh-huh.
I also think you have to look at what kind of documentation you have in place in your institution. A lot of times what will happen is that there are pieces, and I know we don't want to muddy the waters, but when we are looking at a 12-hour shift, a lot has happened, a lot needs to be made known. Of course, again, if you have efficient documentation, then you're absolutely right, then you don't have to be taking those additional pieces of information and repeating them again if they're there and easily found. So look at how you're presenting your paperwork, you know, so that you can focus on the situation, the most acute reasons for the patient being there and their treatment.
Absolutely. There's just starting to be more work and data on the handoff piece and what modalities are most effective and what sort of components or elements are most critical. And one other suggestion that I have is if you use SBAR, as you've alluded to, be very careful about which items you're going to put in SBA and R, and only pick the most critical and most important ones, because you can be comprehensive and thorough, but the risk of that is that people just see a whole bunch of stuff and they miss the forest for the trees. What you want to do, again, is go back to the clinical condition. The whole reason that communication failures and standardization came to be was because we found that people weren't communicating the clinical condition very well from shift to shift. And I think it's important when you think about the clinical condition and what are the elements, you want to include the past, the present, and the future. Because when you're handing off from an 8-hour shift, you don't want to just report what happened in your 8 hours. You want to give the oncoming person some sort of vantage point about where they were, where they are now on your shift. And maybe that's different from the beginning to the end of your shift, but as you can imagine, if they're a little worse or a little more short of breath from beginning to end of your shift, and they were a little worse from the beginning of the next shift to the next, there's a slippery slope or slippery slide that occurs. And if you're only speaking to those 8 hours, people may not see the dramatic change from shift to shift. So again, focusing on the clinical picture and what you see now in comparison to how they were, what direction are they going in, and are they going in the right direction?
Operator, is there anyone else in the queue, and then we'll start doing as Terry suggested and open lines up?
Yes, ma'am. We have another question from Dr. Lorraine Farrell. Ma'am, your line is open.
Hi.
So the question is whether you're using the model of SBAR or IPATH, is anyone who's presented, do you have computerized charting? And if you do, how have you modeled it or built it into your program?
We are not computerized yet.
Thank you.
Next, we have a question from Ola Tukunbo Osinye. Your line is open.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I just want to ask a question about the SBAR worksheet. I've studied report. Is it going to be a part of the medical record, or is it just for the report?
Your question is whether the SBAR handoff is part of the documentation or charting?
Yes, that at the end of the day, is it going to be part of the medical record?
Yeah, most places that I work with have not made it part of the medical record when you're using it for shift to shift. Now, the only time that it's typically in the chart is when it's part of the RRT documentation and it's folded into that sheet.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I think what you have to do is think of SBAR as a form of scripting. It's an outline to keep you organized to get the information across.
Again, Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, please press the number one key on your touch-tone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press the pound key. We have a question from Noella Coe. Your line is open.
Yeah, we're using SBAR as a handoff. What documentations in the charts are we required? Do we use the SBAR form?
There's no required documentation of using SBAR in handoffs. The JCO requirement is simply that you have a standardized method of doing the handoff. They don't tell you what to do or how to do it. They just need to know that you've thought about a standardized approach to how you do it.
Okay.
I'm showing no further questions at this time.
Okay. Carrie, do you want to do it so that we open up a few of the lines to make sure that the participants understand the assignment?
Yes.
Okay.
And I guess also before we even open the lines, Janet, maybe you could highlight a few of the areas where they could go to and read about SBAR again, just better understanding where some tools are. And Hillary and I will both send out some tools for everyone on the call to, again, look at. We did pass some out at the last learning session, but it's documentation on the types of tools to use for SBAR. So we want to make sure everyone is clear on those issues, and we will provide you with any support, either online today or offline or through the Jenny website, and we'll post those materials again for you.
So interestingly, the materials on SBAR handouts or handoffs are very scant. There's very little out there on it. Of course, on the JCO website, we'll define the requirements. But there's not a lot on SBAR handoffs. I'll send you what little there is, but there's nothing off the top of my head that you could easily go to and sort of reproduce, unfortunately.
So we will put it, anything that is there together for everyone on the call and post it again on website on the Jenny site. We do have probably most of the materials up there already.
Uh-huh.
But just for those new to the SBAR program or to the Jenny site, we will get materials out to you. If you do not have access to the Jenny, we would suggest that you contact someone in your organization and find out how you can gain access. So, Hillary, do you want to go through the list?
Sure. And just to kind of repeat what Terry said, there is a link out there on SBAR on the Jenny website, and we'll email it to everyone that's on this call if we have your email address so that you know where that information is. So just going through the list, I guess we'll go through, I'll just randomly select some of these. Operator, do you have Brookdale on the line?
Brookdale, ma'am?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am, I do. Your line is open.
Okay. Hello? Hello? Brookdale?
Hey, you have to ask a question from Brookdale.
Anyone from Brookdale?
You have to put in water or something.
Your line is open, Brookdale.
Yeah, hold on a minute.
Okay.
So I just wanted to add one thing. Terry, as far as the resources that are out there, there's white papers and tons of papers on handoffs in general, and I can send you those. I just wanted to warn you that none of them tell you exactly how to do SBAR, but they do talk a lot about what to think about in terms of the critical elements of a handoff. So I can send those your way.
That would be great, Janet. And I guess for the folks on the call, Hillary and I can go through some of those materials and condense them for you.
Okay.
Because your challenge will be introducing these concepts to others on your unit.
Terry, can I speak for Brookdale?
Sure.
Okay, because our speaker has stepped out. Okay. I'll just say that we tried the SBAR, the Rapid Response Team, last year, and it was sort of a good pilot, but then it sort of went on hold because we had a staffing issue with the critical care staff, who were the responders.
So now we're committed to it, and the physicians are committed to it also. And they attended the seminar that you had out on Long Island, and were very impressed by it. So we're in the process of rolling it out now. I think the point about the handoff communication and the S-bar and how to combine them is something that we're going to have to plan and how to work that out so it won't be confusing. And we'll put that into our planning when we're rolling it out. Okay?
Okay, thank you, Laurie.
Okay, thank you. I think this is like one of the best.
Laurie?
Get it accomplished.
Operator, what happened to Laurie?
I'm sorry about that, ma'am.
That's all right. We'll
line
get
is
back
open
to her.
Again.
Okay, the next hospital.
Okay, how about we go to, I'm going to go a little out of order here. Is Westchester on the line? Westchester Medical Center?
Yes, we are.
Westchester, your line is open.
Yes, we are.
Hi, is this Cindy?
Hey.
So we just want to be sure that you're all set and understand that we're asking everyone to set up the SBAR pilot and you understand all the worksheets and everything else?
Yes. This actually was a very helpful conference call to define. Had been looking at it as an organization-wide implementation and narrowing it to a pilot of a specific area clears up a lot for us.
Great. If you have any questions for Janet or us, as you're starting the pilot?
Not right now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. I guess we'll go through a couple more. Let's see. Is Hackensack on the phone?
Yes, ma'am. Hackensack, your line is open.
Hi. We're here.
Hi.
We have a similar situation to Laurie as previously stated. We have change in staff over, and especially in the nursing area. And what we're looking for, we have some people that attended your three-day seminar. Gladys is one of them who's sitting here with me. And she's the administrative nurse manager, which is the supervisor, on the evening shift. So she's going to take this and work with one particular unit and that basically has a lot of RRT calls. And we're going to try to get them to start using it, especially on the off shifts, because that's where a lot of our issues are.
And that's a great sell for the off shifts, evening and night cross.
That's right.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks, Carol.
Thank you.
Carrie, want to continue this?
Yep. Okay. I think it will just be helpful. I know it's painful, but it's helpful.
So how about we have St. Luke's Roosevelt on the line, operator? Can you open up their line?
Yes, ma'am. Your lines are open.
Hi, this is Michelle, the QI coordinator. Can you hear me?
Yes, hi, Michelle.
Hi, I don't know whether I can really speak for the nursing right now, but we did implement the SBAR tool on our rapid response team record, and we are using that successfully, and we have discussed SBAR among nursing. We'll be implementing, I don't really have any other questions right now. We'll be discussing it, with the nursing and the other departments.
So between this conference call, Michelle, and the next conference call, when you fill out your AIM worksheet,
sure.
What will your goals include?
So just to get the information out to physicians and to the rest of the, relevant departments, nursing, and discuss it with nursing leadership particularly.
Janet, do you have any suggestions or strategies as to how Michelle can get to the next step?
So, Michelle, it sounds like you might be at the buy-in stage. Are you comfortable that you have buy-in from the right people?
But if you have buy-in from nursing, I don't know how the physicians.
Okay.
The physicians who are responsible for the rapid response team, there's buy-in because they were very enthusiastic about using the SBAR technique when we developed the rapid response team record. but I don't know. I can't really speak for everyone else at this time.
Okay, so that sounds like a good place to start.
Okay.
And what you're trying to accomplish might be that you get buy-in from the right people between now and then. So that would mean circling back with the RRT folks who found it successful and say, you know, do you think that you can help me get the other docs on board to help them understand the value of doing this?
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
So I would start there. And your goal is to get buy-in from, you know, the physician group or this department to do a pilot.
Uh-huh.
So focusing on the buy-in piece.
Okay.
You don't have to get everybody's buy-in, but start with a place that you think you can do a quick win.
Okay.
One department or one shift and get their commitment. They're going to try doing this intensively.
Okay.
For the next month or so.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
And just, again, buy in on a small scale, shooting to make a quick win, and then you can spread the successes.
I see. Okay.
Don't need the world to buy in just yet.
Yes, that's
just
true.
Just one successful pilot.
All right.
Okay?
Thanks very much.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. So we'll do a couple more, and I know we're running out of time soon. So is Lennox Hill there?
I'm sorry, ma'am?
Lennox Hill?
I'm not showing them on our conference.
Okay. We'll try, I think, a pretty big group from New York Presbyterian, Morgan Stanley Children's.
Yes, ma'am. Your line is open.
Hello?
New York Presbyterian, your line is open.
I'm from the Allen Pavilion.
Okay, that's fine, too. Are you comfortable and okay with the assignment for the next call on the 29th?
What do you mean, am I comfortable with it?
Do you understand the AIMS worksheets and how to proceed with the goals?
Truthfully, I'm just trying to print them off my computer, and the only thing I could print was the first sheet that I got, just about the conference call, the primary topic.
Okay.
The other ones I can't print. I'm not sure if it's my computer, so I was going to try sending it to somebody. I mean, I just got this information today, so.
Okay, we can get that out to you, no
okay,
problem.
Thank you.
Right.
Are you hooked up to the Jenny website?
No.
No, so we'll also have to work with you on that. Why don't, after this call, you and Hillary and I connect, and we could just walk through next steps.
Right. Okay,
I just have to tell you, I might not be here at the end of the call because I have to go and teach a class.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry.
Contact or tomorrow.
There'll be other people who are involved in this also.
Okay.
That I can touch base with.
Okay. We just want to make sure everyone's comfortable with the next step between this call and the next call, because the next call we will be asking all hospitals to report on their accomplishments.
Right.
And maybe one thing to do between now and then might be to say, tag your it, make one person be the accountable person to be on the call and to follow through. Because sometimes if you have a fairly large group and you say we're all going to pitch in,
right.
It gets a little unclear.
Okay.
Okay. Go through a couple more. Is Jamaica on the line?
No, I'm not showing any lines for Jamaica, ma'am.
Okay. Anyone from Winthrop?
I'm sorry?
Winthrop?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Try a couple more. Franklin Hospital?
Fortunately, not, ma'am.
Okay. And we'll try one more. Forest Hills?
Forest Hills, your line is open.
Oh, hi. This is Mary Heffernan from Forest Hills.
Hi, Mary.
How are you?
How are you?
Good. We did start, you know, with the rapid response team well over a year ago, and the format is an SBAR. And we use an SBAR format for our hands-off. However, you had mentioned or alluded to prior that we kind of did both at the same time, so it was a little messy. You know, we had the form and the training about SBAR all kind of done together. We really could probably use a little bit more emphasis on SBAR, so we've looked at adding it to our mandatory topics for the RNs, just so that it's a familiarity. They can go through it, do an exercise in it. One of the things I thought was very interesting, we have been working on shift-to-shift report, and we've kind of finalized that. So right now, because the nurses developed it, I'm not sure that I want to go ahead and put SBAR in it just yet, but we are trying to work more closely with the patient and family. So I thought perhaps we could trial something about using SBAR after, you know, during multiple dosing rounds when we go into the patient. Maybe we can use it in a format that we speak to the patient. You know, this is where you are right now. This is where we think you're going. This is our recommendations, et cetera, and, you know, kind of get feedback from the patient using that SBAR tool.
It's a huge win, including the patient and family, and doing it at the bedside, not only for patient satisfaction, but I think in terms of communicating the clinical picture.
Right, right.
You know, when you get that report that says that they're a little lethargic,
right.
Well, that, what does that mean? To some
right.
people, you walk in and they're obtunded, and you're thinking, I wonder if that's what they meant. So I think it's a huge win-win to do it at the bedside, so I would encourage that. And also, the other piece of the bedside thing is, again, focusing on the clinical picture and trying to figure out a way to deal with the tasks at hand. That piece doesn't necessarily have to be dealt with at the bedside, but what this has done for some of our pilots at the bedside is it's reduced the time in assessing the patient from like 42 or 46 minutes down to 12 minutes. So you're spending your time in there with the patient assessing and talking about them rather than at the nurse's station writing or doing whatever else. So, streamlining the content has also reduced a lot of overtime for a lot of hospitals across the country.
Right, right.
So, great.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Showing a question from Maggie O'Gorman from New York Children's Hospital. And your line is open.
Hi, good afternoon. It wasn't a question like you asked for Children's Hospital of New York more than Stanley, and that's where we're from. But then Alan, I don't know how we got miscommunicated there, the Allen Pavilion. But we've started SBAR in shift-to-shift report and nurses reporting off to each other. And we made up a little placard. It's about 2 inches by 3 inches long that can fit onto our ID cards. And it shows in detail how you should report in a very logical manner. And also we have eclipses here, and we've placed SBAR on eclipses so that all the information can be pulled up and given out. And we use that, the card and eclipses together and give them report.
What's eclipses?
Eclipses is a medical record and how we chart. So it's a computer charting system.
Okay, and that's a great combination, because what people are finding that when they improve their handoff processes, the most successful ones are the ones that use adjunct to their report. So it's not only about the content that you're reporting off, but very often you're changing the process in some way, whether it be by, you know, printing out the static information or going to the bedside. They're really rehauling the process and finding success. And voice technology is another thing I've seen used, that they've incorporated the SBAR elements into a voice technology report. And instead of waiting around to get report from different nurses, you go in and you punch in the MR number, you get the report that was recorded, and then the second 15 minutes, so that's the first 15 minutes when you come on, the second 15 minutes are spent with the nurse who's outgoing and saying, you know, I listened to the report. Here are my questions.
Right.
That's been efficient for them.
Right. So, I mean, we're just in the implementation stage. We also have our unit assistants using ISBAR.
Mm-hmm.
They're using the ISBAR.
Yeah.
It's very simple. The ward clerk or the unit assistant, whichever, you know, your company uses, we're using that with them for communications, too, so that it's very precise and concise information that's transferred from one to the other.
And how is that working?
It's a work in progress, but it's to get the workers to actually use it. I mean, they've been educated on it, but it's a daily process of reminding them to use it.
Right.
Yeah.
And being clear on exactly what the expectation is under the SBAR.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
Thank you. So is there anyone else in the queue, operator?
No, I'm showing none in the queue at this time.
Okay. We're actually after our time. Terry, do you still want me to go through the roster? Or?
No, I think we've heard a few enough stories. Just next call, it would be great if everyone could be prepared to go through a quick SBAR of what they've done.
Right.
Using the SBAR format as to what they have done between this call and the next call. In the meantime, we strongly encourage you to reach out to either Hillary or myself, and we can help guide you on the next steps. We'll talk to individuals at your hospital. We will come on site, whatever it takes to move this process along. We're more than happy to help you out or to clarify any of the issues. I think at a minimum, for everyone on the call, in addition to the work you're doing between now and the next time, I think it would be helpful if you were to at least introduce, each person on the call, introduce 10 new people to the Jenny site so that they could begin reviewing the materials and becoming more familiar with both the RRS and the SBAR. And that would be a huge burden off your shoulders if everyone became familiar on their own. How does that sound, Janet?
Sounds good.
That's great. So we'll follow up with you just sort of repeating what were our expectations right now in the next call, which is on June 29th from noon to 1 again. And we'll also give you the Jenny website link just so that everyone on the call knows where all this information is going online. Thanks to everyone for joining, and we'll be back in touch well before June 29th.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation in today's conference. This does conclude the conference, and you may now disconnect. Everyone have a wonderful day.